Section 1B. Odin was moderately aware that Duo was off on the surface. Without really thinking about it, he could judge her direction and even something of her distance. If he had stopped to think of it, he might have felt displeasure, for this inter-awareness sense had been steadily deadening for a long time now, and without really being certain why, he had a sense of gathering fulfillment about it. It was the way things were supposed to be, the sign of the continuing development of the body with age. Trit's inter-awareness sense did not decrease, but it shifted more and more toward the children. That was clearly the line of useful development, but then the role of the parental was a simple one, in a manner of speaking, however important. The rational was far more complex, and Odin took a bleak satisfaction in that thought. Of course, it was Dua who was the real puzzle. She was so unlike all the other emotionals. That puzzled and frustrated Trit, and reduced him to even more pronounced inarticulacy. It puzzled and frustrated Odin at times, too, but he was also aware of Dua's infinite capacity to induce satisfaction with life, and it did not seem likely that one was independent of the other. The occasional exasperation she produced was a small price to pay for the intense happiness. And maybe Dua's odd way of life was part of what ought to be, too. The hard ones seemed interested in her, and ordinarily they paid attention only to rationals. He felt pride in that. So much the better for the triad that even the emotional was worth attention. Things were as they were supposed to be. That was bedrock, and it was what he wanted most to feel, right down to the end. Someday he would even know when it was time to pass on, and then he would want to. The hard ones assured him of that, as they assured all rationals, but they also told him that it was his own inner consciousness that would mark the time unmistakably, and not any advice from outside. "When you tell yourself," Lawston had told him, in the clear, careful way in which a hard one always talked to a soft one, as though the hard one were laboring to make himself understood, "that you know why you must pass on, then you will pass on, and your triad will pass on with you." And Odin had said, "I cannot say I wish to pass on now, hard sir. There is so much to learn." "Of course, Left dear. You feel this because you are not yet ready." Odin thought, "How could I ever feel ready, when I would never feel there wasn't much to learn?" But he didn't say so. He was quite certain the time would come, and he would then understand. He looked down at himself, almost forgetting and thrusting out an eye to do so. There were always some childish impulses, and even the most adult of the most rational. He didn't have to, of course. He could sense quite well with his eye solidly in place, and he found himself satisfactorily solid. Nice, sharp outline, smooth and curved into gracefully conjoined ovoids. His body lacked the strangely attractive shimmer of Dua and the comforting stockiness of Trit. He loved them both, but he would not change his own body for either. And, of course, his own mind. He would never say so, of course, for he would not want to hurt their feelings, but he never ceased being thankful that he did not have Trit's limited understanding, or, even more, Dua's erratic one. He supposed they didn't mind, for they knew nothing else. He grew distantly aware of Dua again, and deliberately dulled the sense. At the moment he felt no need for her. It was not that he wanted her less, but merely that he had increasing drives elsewhere. It was part of the growing maturity of a rational to find more and more satisfaction in the exercise of a mind that could only be practiced alone, and with the hard ones. He grew constantly more accustomed to the hard ones, constantly more attached to them. He felt that was right and proper, too, for he was a rational, and in a way the hard ones were super-rationals. He had once said that to Lawston, the friendliest of the hard ones, and, it seemed to Odin, in some vague way the youngest. Lawston had radiated amusement, but had said nothing, and that meant he had not denied it, however. Odin's earliest memories were filled with hard ones. His parental more and more concentrated his attention on the last child, the baby emotional. That was only natural. Trit would do it too when the last child came, if it ever did. Odin had picked up that last qualification from Trit, who used it constantly as a reproach to Dua. But so much the better. With his parental busy so much of the time, Odin could begin his education that much the earlier. He was losing his baby ways, and he had learned a great deal even before he met Trit. That meeting, though, was surely something he would never forget. It might as well have been yesterday as more than half a lifetime ago. He had seen parentals of his own generation, of course. Young ones who, long before they incubated the children that made true parentals of them, showed few signs of the stolidity to come. As a child, he had played with his own right brother and was scarcely aware of any intellectual difference between them. Though looking back on those days, he recognized that it was there even then. He knew also, vaguely, the role of a parental in a triad. Even as a child, he had heard whispered tales of melting. When Trit first appeared, when Odin saw him first, everything changed. For the first time in his life, Odin felt an inner warmth and began to think that there was something he wanted that was utterly divorced from thought. Even now, he could remember the sense of embarrassment that had accompanied this. Trit was not embarrassed, of course. Parentals were never embarrassed about the activities of the triad, and emotionals were almost never embarrassed. Only rationals had that problem. Too much thinking, a hard one had said when Odin had discussed the problem with him, and that left Odin dissatisfied. In what way could thinking be too much? Trit was young when they first met, of course. He was still so childish as to be uncertain in his blockishness, so that his reaction to the meeting was embarrassingly clear. He grew almost translucent along his edges. Odin said hesitantly, "I haven't seen you before. Have I, right fellow?" Trit said, "I have never been here. I have been brought here." They both knew exactly what had happened to them. The meeting had been arranged because someone, some parental, Odin had thought at the time, but later he knew it was some hard one, thought they would suit each other. And the thought was correct. There was no intellectual rapport between the two, of course. How could there be, when Odin wanted to learn with an intensity that superseded anything but the existence of the triad itself, and Trit lacked the very concept of learning? What Trit had to know, he knew beyond either learning or unlearning. Odin, out of the excitement of finding out about the world and its sun, about the history and mechanism of life, about all the abouts in the universe, sometimes, in those early days together, found himself spilling over to Trit. Trit listened placidly, clearly understanding nothing, but content to be listening, while Odin, transmitting nothing, was as clearly content to be lecturing. It was Trit who made the first move, driven by his special needs. Odin was chattering about what he had learned that day after the brief midday meal. Their thicker substance absorbed food so rapidly, they were satisfied with a simple walk in the sun, while emotionals basked for hours at a time, curling and thinning as though deliberately to lengthen the task. Odin, who always ignored the emotionals, was quite happy to be talking. Trit, who stared wordlessly at them day after day, was now visibly restless. Abruptly, he came close to Odin, formed an appendage so hastily as to clash most disagreeably on the other's form sense. He placed it upon a portion of Odin's upper ovoid where a slight shimmer was allowing a welcome draft of warm air as dessert. Trit's appendage thinned with a visible effort and sank into the superficies of Odin's skin before the latter darted away, horribly embarrassed. Odin had done such things as a baby, of course, but never since his adolescence. "Don't do that, Trit," he said sharply. Trit's appendage remained out, groping a little. "I want to." Odin held himself as compactly as he could, striving to harden the surface to bar entry. "I don't want to."
"Why not?" said Trit urgently. "There's nothing wrong."
Odin said the first thing that came into his mind.
"It hurt."
It didn't really, not physically. But the hard ones always avoided the touch of the soft ones. A careless interpenetration hurt them, but they were constructed differently from soft ones. Completely differently. Trit was not fooled by that. His instinct could not possibly mislead him in this respect. He said,
"It didn't hurt."
"Well, it isn't right this way. We need an emotional." And Trit could only say stubbornly,
"I want to anyway."
It was bound to continue happening, and Odin was bound to give in. He always did. It was something that was sure to happen even to the most self-conscious rational. As the old saying had it, everyone either admitted doing it or lied about it. Trit was at him at each meeting after that, if not with an appendage, then rim to rim. And finally Odin, seduced by the pleasure of it, began to help and tried to shine. He was better at that than Trit was. Poor Trit, infinitely more eager, huffed and strained, and could achieve only the barest shimmer here and there, patchily and raggedly. Odin, however, could turn translucent all over his surface, and fought down his embarrassment in order to let himself flow against Trit. There was skin-deep penetration, and Odin could feel the pulsing of Trit's hard surface under the skin. There was enjoyment, riddled with guilt. Trit, as often as not, was tired and vaguely angry when it was all over. Odin said, "Now, Trit, I've told you we need an emotional to do this properly. You can't be angry at something that just is." And Trit said,
"Let's get an emotional.
Let's get an emotional." Trit's simple drives never led him to anything but direct action. Odin was not sure he could explain the complexities of life to the other.
"It's not that easy, Reitling," he began gently.
Trit said abruptly,
"The hard ones can do it. You're friendly with them. Ask them."
Odin was horrified.
"I can't ask."
"The time," he continued, unconsciously falling into his lecturing voice, "is not yet come, or I would certainly know it. Until such time..." Trit was not listening. He said,
"I'll ask."
"No," said Odin, horrified.
"You stay out of it.
I tell you it's not time.
I have an education to worry about.
It's very easy to be a parental and not have to know anything, but..." He was sorry the instant he had said it, and it was a lie anyway.
He just didn't want to do anything at all that might offend the Hard Ones and impede his useful relationship with them. Trit, however, showed no signs of minding, and it occurred to Odin that the other saw no point or merit in knowing anything he did not already know, and would not consider the statement of the fact an insult. The problem of the emotional kept coming up, though. Occasionally they tried interpenetration. In fact, the impulse grew stronger with time. It was never truly satisfying, though it had its pleasure, and each time Trit would demand an emotional. Each time, Odin threw himself deeper into his studies, almost as a defense against the problem. Yet at times, he was almost tempted to speak to Lawston about it. Lawston was the Hard One he knew best, the one who took the greatest personal interest in him. There was a deadly sameness about the Hard Ones, because they did not change. They never changed. Their form was fixed. Where their eyes were, they always were, and always in the same place for all of them. Their skin was not exactly hard, but it was always opaque, never shimmered, never vague, never penetrable by another skin of its own type. They were not larger in size, particularly, than the Soft Ones, but they were heavier. Their substance was much denser, and they had to be careful about the yielding tissues of the Soft Ones. Once, when he had been little, really little, and his body had flowed almost as freely as his sister's, he had been approached by a Hard One. He had never known which one it was, but he learned in later life that they were all of them curious about baby rationals. Odin had reached up for the Hard One out of nothing but curiosity. The Hard One had sprung backward, and later Odin's parental had scolded him for offering to touch a Hard One. The scolding had been harsh enough for Odin never to forget. When he was older, he learned that the close-packed atoms of the Hard One's tissues felt pain on the forcible penetration of others. Odin wondered if the Soft One felt pain, too. Another young rational once told him that he had stumbled against a Hard One and the Hard One had doubled up, but that he himself had felt nothing. But Odin wasn't sure this was not just a melodramatic boast. There were other things he could not do. He liked rubbing against the walls of the cavern. There was a pleasant, warm feeling when he allowed himself to penetrate rock. Babies always did it, but it got harder to do as he grew older. Still, he could do it skin deep, and he liked it. But his parental found him doing it and scolded him. He objected that his sister did it all the time. He had seen her. "That's different," said the parental. "She's an emotional." At another time, when Odin was absorbing a recording, he was older then, he had idly formed a couple of projections and made the tips so thin he could pass one through the other. He began to do it regularly when he listened. There was a pleasant tickling sensation that made it easier to listen and made him nicely sleepy afterward. And his parental caught him at that, too, and what he had said still made Odin uncomfortable in remembering it. No one really told him about melting in those days. They fed him knowledge and educated him about everything except what the triad was all about. Trit had never been told either, but he was a parental, so he knew without being told. Of course, when Dua came at last, all was clear, even though she seemed to know less about it even than Odin. But she didn't come to them because of anything Odin did. It was Trit who broached the matter. Trit, who ordinarily feared the Hard Ones and avoided them mutely. Trit, who lacked Odin's self-assurance in all but this respect. Trit, who on this one subject was driven. Trit, Trit, Trit. Odin sighed. Trit was invading his thoughts, because Trit was coming. He could feel him, harsh, demanding, always demanding. Odin had so little time to himself these days, just when he felt that he needed to think more than ever, to straighten out all the thoughts. "Yes, Trit," he said.